Good morning.
Good morning.
Our prayer this morning. Looking to the Word of God. Desire that the thought that the Lord has given would be presented in the way that He would have it. Yes. Fulfill its specific purpose. Appreciate God's faithfulness. Sometimes, I don't know if you might think about it, you might not think about it, as those of us that, Henry and I and others that labor before you, seeking the Lord on what He would have us to bring forth as we have opportunity. And, you know, we fight the enemy too.
Right.
Not wondering, Lord, is this what you want? Is this what you have to be brought forth? And sometimes we struggle with it a little bit. We just say, Lord, well, this is what you gave me. By the help of the Lord, I'm going to share what you've given.
And that's it, right?
Ask you, Lord, to put your hand on it.
Yes. Yes.
And it's encouraging when God gives a little witness to you.
Yes.
Thank the Lord for those that are faithful, that endeavor to follow God's leading. Just thinking about how the first verse of that special song ties into the message this morning.
Amen.
And you'll know very soon, but that first verse, it says, sometimes I feel discouraged and think my life in vain, tempted then to murmur and of my lot complain. Oh, but then I think of Jesus and all that He's done for me.
Amen.
And I cry, oh, Rock of Ages, hide thou me. We're going to talk about this morning what Jesus done for us. But as it relates to things that each of us experience in our lives, maybe on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And maybe this isn't a typical topic of a message, but it's founded on the Word of God.
Amen.
And by the help of the Lord, I'm going to share what the Lord's given us this morning.
Amen.
Thought this morning is it's not fair. And in parentheses, if I could say it, it's not deserved. And you'll understand as we go forward with this. But I was thinking about how God is faithful to us. God is faithful to give us reminders of things that He has given us in His Word. And it's because of His love and His mercy and His kindness to us. And we recognize that when we share the Word of God, it's not like we're going to come up with anything new. It's not anything that you haven't heard before.
Yeah.
It's all based on this. But the thing is about it, God and His love, and He just helps us. He just brings things back to our mind just to reinforce things, to have the weight and have us to respond to it in the way that He would have us.
Yeah.
So in thinking about this thought this morning, it's not fair. A fair is marked by impartiality. Is free from self-interest or prejudice or favoritism. And then on the opposite end of that, when you think about something that's deserved, is to be worthy or suitable for some kind of reward or something that you're given in return, some kind of compensation or some kind of retaliation. Maybe as you've gone through life and have experienced different things, you maybe even expressed something yourself that you say, I deserve this. Maybe you've been working real hard and you feel like, you know what, I need to take a day off. I feel like I've been working, or maybe you've been working all day and you've had a list of things to do, and you get to a time where you say, you know what, I deserve to put my feet up and rest. Because I've been working all this. And so it's just something that all of us, we do these things. We recognize, you know what, I feel like I deserve this.
Yes.
You know, and maybe there's other situations and circumstances that happen in life where you feel like maybe something's just deserved, but it doesn't quite work out that way. That ever happened to anyone? More than likely, it probably happens more often than the other. And more than likely, it is that, you know, realize when you sometimes you feel like something that you deserve, you might not even get it. Maybe it's something all of us have jobs. We're in job situations. But, you know, maybe it's comes time for maybe there's an opening at your job. And you look at what that job is, and you look at yourself and you say, you know what, I think I fit the criteria for that. And maybe instead of you, somebody else is picked. And you're kind of looked over. And you can look and say, well, I deserve that. That's not fair. I feel like I was more qualified than that individual. Why did they get that instead of me? I'm reminded of some things growing up that maybe I've thought about. Maybe that wasn't fair. You know, sometimes if there was a last piece of something, maybe a last piece of cake or a brownie, and maybe there was two of us that wanted it. God gives parents wisdom. And he said, you know what? So rather than having one cut it, and then that one that cut it, pick it. See, you're trying to take your parents, trying to be fair. So they say, okay, you both want what's left. All right, you cut it, and then the other one pick it. See, it helped, you know, because if you think about it, it wouldn't have been fair if I'm the one that I get to cut it and pick the piece. What do you think I would do? I'm just being honest with you this morning. I'm going to cut myself a bigger piece. It's just the way it is, right? But my sibling can look at that and say, well, that's not fair. See, well, and that's what God gives parents with. All right, you cut it, and then the other one gets to pick. Maybe there's other things that take place in life. Different situations and circumstances that maybe somebody does something wrong. And you say that they deserve to be punished for that. And it doesn't happen. Maybe they seem like they get away with it. And you can look at life and just things that happen in general and just say, you know what, it's just not fair. And you know what, I believe that all of us this morning could say, we can recognize life's not fair. It's just not, right? I mean, you look at things that go on in our lives and in the world, and we just have to recognize that it's just not fair. So maybe you take a look at that and you say, well, what if things were different? What if our world was completely different and everything just worked out perfectly fair for everything? That might sound nice. It might sound that sounds real good. That's okay. But there's one little problem with that. It might work out in the natural sense, but then in the spiritual side, we'd be in trouble. We would be in bad shape. See, because there's some thing, and that's the, you know, life's not fair, and it's not. But you know what? That works to our benefit in the fact that it's not fair what God did for us. Because what I deserve, what I deserve is we're carnal by nature. We're sinful creatures. We're born into sin. We'll talk about that here in a moment. But what we deserve, is that what we get? But see, God in his love and in his mercy, so it's not fair. So maybe sometimes when we look at life in general and the things that we have to deal with and say, that's not fair. Think about the fact that it's not fair that each and every one of us has an opportunity to live not only in this life, but then be able to gain heaven. That's not fair.
That's right.
I'd like to begin in Romans, the 5th chapter and the 12th verse. The thing about it with each and every one of us, we're born lost. And there's nothing that we can do about it. All of us, our condition is hopeless. Yeah. And there's nothing that anybody can do to change that. Our own self. Right? So let's begin here in Romans, the 5th chapter and the 12th verse.
Wherefore?
As by one man's sin entered into the world.
And death by sin.
And death by sin.
So death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned.
For we have all sinned. So because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden, then all of those that were born since then have been born in this situation. And again, we're born into it, and that's our lot. And it says here, it says in the Amplified, it says, therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death as a result of sin, So death spread to all men.
Yes.
No one being able to stop it or to escape its power because all have sinned. So this fact that we all of us recognize that in a natural sense, we're going to all die.
Yes.
And that's the way it is. Yes. And you know what? Because of sin, we also have a spiritual death. But you know what's not fair? The fact that because of what Jesus Christ did,
yes,
he made it possible for each and every one of us to not have to die a spiritual death.
Amen.
What do I deserve? I deserve to die.
Yes.
But God had a better plan.
Amen.
Aren't you glad this morning that it's not fair? I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that it's not fair. But thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for each and every one of us. So we all have to die a natural death. And we all deserve a spiritual death because of sin. All of us are lost and undone before God. But oh, I thank God. For thank God, God, the originator of love,
yeah,
that he saw fit, that he said, I'm going to have to find some kind of way. I'm going to have to find some kind of way for my creation, because I don't want them to have to die a spiritual death. So some kind of way, I'll have to make a way for them to be able to live in eternity. So what did he do? He sent his son, didn't he?
Yes.
You know, one of the most famous scriptures in the world talks about how God so loved the world, right? He gave his only begotten son. What else does it say? I know this verse. See, that the enemy fights us, but it said whosoever will believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But then that 17th verse here,
yes,
it says, what did he come into the world? See, we were already condemned.
Yes.
We were born into sin, so we were condemned already.
Yes.
But he didn't bring his son into the world to condemn us anymore.
Uh-huh.
We was already in that state.
Right.
Why? God is love.
Yes.
We sing about it all the time.
Yes.
God is love.
Yes.
God is not interested in making things worse for us. He wants
Amen.
To make things better.
I believe that.
So what does it say in that 17th verse of 3 John? He sent not his son into the world, but to condemn the world.
But that the world
through him might be saved.
Amen.
He said, I want to make it not fair for my creation.
Amen.
Because I have something better for them. I want to bring it. I don't want to make things worse. I want to make things better.
Yes,
so I'm going to send my son down and make it possible. Yes, we're going to have to die a natural death.
Yes.
Oh, but we can have a spiritual, a life that can last through eternity.
Amen.
It says men deserve condemnation. It's something that we deserve. And it's something that was pronounced unto us. But God was willing, the writer says, that he should offer a pardon. And a pardon and delay the sentence of our condemnation. That's what he did for each and every one of us. In his love, in his mercy, and his compassion. You know what compassion is? Compassion is defined as sympathetic consciousness of others' distress. But it doesn't stop there. See, the compassion sometimes that we can express as human beings might be limited to the fact that I can feel sorry for you in the condition that you're in.
Yes.
But where we are limited as human beings is, can we do anything about it?
No.
Not really. We can be there to support and uplift somebody and try to encourage them, let them know we can pray for them. But can we actually make any kind of change in what they're going through? No. But see, God Almighty, he recognized us in our condition and he said, I'm concerned. I have a care. I've created this world now. And I've created these beings to live in it, and now they're in an imperfect state. I want to do something about it. So his compassion is not only that with a conscious sympathy of our distress, but also with a desire to alleviate it. He said, I want to make a way so that I can do something about this problem.
Yes,
amen. So he sent his son for us. Yes, and you know what? It changed everything, didn't it?
Lord.
Just that one decision that God Almighty made in to send his son down onto the earth, it changed the whole world.
Amen.
You're talking about, and Brother Henry's preached on this some time ago, taking God out of the equation. See, God changed the whole equation. I was in a lost, undone condition, and there was nothing I could do about it. But Almighty God, see, he looked down in love. He looked down in pity. He looked down in compassion. And he said, I want to do something for my creation. And he said, I want to give them a choice.
Yes.
I want to give them a choice. Yes, all of us have to die a spiritual death. A natural death. But I want to give them a choice of whether they have to die a spiritual death. So he said, I'm going to take the bondage. He came to set the captives free. He said, I want to release the chains of bondage. And when I give my creation some freedom.
Yes, amen.
So now we're talking about free. You're talking about, we sing that song, free.
Yeah.
Free, free.
Yeah.
I am from sin set free. See, there was nothing I could do about it.
Yes.
Oh, but he came to set me free. He released the chains that binded me, the things that I couldn't help. Maybe you heard that expression, I couldn't help it. God came to take care of that. He said, I want to make a way that you can have a choice. You can be free from bondage. You know, so we were already condemned, but he said, I want to change that for my creation because I love and care for them so much. And you know the wonderful thing about God? He doesn't look at us where we are. He sees us where we can be.
Thank you, Lord.
Isn't that wonderful? When God saved you, he didn't see you in your lost condition. He didn't see you as one maybe that rejected him time and time again. I did it. He didn't see me like that. He saw me as this is a child that I love, that I want to, I have a plan for their life. I have a plan for this life. I want to do something special for you.
Yes.
So he said, I don't see you where you are.
Yes.
I see you where I want you to be.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
That's wonderful that God looks at us. We might look at ourselves sometime and recognize we're in a bad condition. Oh, but God sees what we can be.
Yes.
And see, that's what the enemy does. He beats down on people. He said, oh, look at the condition you're in. There's no hope for you. It's completely lost for you. Oh, not so. God sees where you can be,
yes.
Not where you are now.
Yes, amen.
And he can change things.
Yeah, thank
the Lord. There is nothing that we can do of ourselves to obtain mercy and favor from God. There's nothing. Oh, but in his love and in his mercy.
Yes.
This is what he said in Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah, the first chapter. And the 18th verse. We talk about God not seeing us where we are, but seeing us where we can be. Seeing how our lives can change if we allow him to work in us and through us and allow him to guide and direct our lives. What does it say there in Isaiah, the first chapter and the 18th verse?
Come now.
He said, come now.
And let us reason
together.
Saith the
Lord.
Though
your sins be as scarlet,
they shall be as white as snow.
They shall be as white as snow.
Though they be red like
though crimson, they
shall be as
they shall be as wool. Isn't that wonderful? God recognized that I can do something for you. I can make a change. I know what you've done. He knows all about everything that everybody has ever done. Oh, but he doesn't look at that. He doesn't condemn us based on what we've done. You know what's done is done. You can't change it, can you? It's already gone. Oh, but what you can do is recognize that there's a God in heaven that can do something about it.
Amen.
He can take those sins. What did it say, Sid? Though your sins be red like they be as scarlet, I can make you white as snow. He said, I can take all that evil, and he said, I can clean. Talked about this morning about having a pure heart. That's because Jesus' blood can make us new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. He doesn't hold those things over our head anymore. He washes us and makes us clean by the precious blood of Jesus. He said, come now. Let me talk to you. I can make a change in you. Though they be red like crimson, oh, they shall be as wool. I'm reminded of a verse of a song. It says this. It says, amazing grace will always be my song of praise. It says, for it was grace that brought me liberty.
Amen.
See, it's grace that set me free. I was tied up. I was tangled up. I was chained up. I was in bondage. I couldn't help it. But God came to set me free. Says, I do not know. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know just why he came to love me so. But you know what he did? Do you know what he did? He looked beyond my faults and he saw my need. He said, I'm not concerned about all that. I see you have a need. You need some help, and I'm here to help you. Isn't that wonderful? That's not fair, is it? Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that God looked on us in love and pity and compassion. So as we go through life, we deal with things. That's not fair. Just be reminded. Just be reminded. You know, it's not fair that I have the opportunity to live a life in this world where I can be free from all the things that's going on. That I don't have to have the fear of all the things that's going on around me. To know that my hope is in Christ Jesus. That don't matter what's going to happen, he's going to take care of me. Thank you, Jesus. And that privilege is given to each and every one of us. Oh, but in God, having a plan for his creation, he needed someone. Jesus had to be willing. Jesus had to be obedient. And I want us to recognize there's a connection that we can make in our minds between Jesus Christ and his obedience and our obedience. It's because obedience by Jesus Christ the Son, he gave us the choice of freedom over bondage. Because Jesus was willing. He was willing and obedient to obey his Father. He gave us the choice of freedom over bondage. He gave us the choice of life over death. Because he was willing. Because he was obedient. Let's go to Philippians, the second chapter, and the 5th through the 8th verse.
Let this mind be in him.
Let this mind be in you.
Which was also in Christ
Jesus. Which was also in Christ Jesus.
Who
being in the form of God,
thought it not robbery
to be equal with God. But made himself of no reputation,
took upon him
the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man,
and being found in the
being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There are several things that come to my mind as we read through this verse. That first, in that fifth verse, it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's a whole nother message. We're not going to talk about that one this morning, but just think about it. Just think about the mind that it took for Jesus Christ to have to be willing to come down on this earth after being on the throne with the Father to come and live as a man. But what did he have to do? They skip down to that eighth verse. And being found in the fashion of a man, what did he do? He humbled himself. Guess what we don't have to do? Humble ourselves. And he became obedient. What are we going to have to do? Be obedient. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Just thinking about, because of the obedience of Jesus Christ, he made it possible for me to be able to choose freedom instead of bondage. Be able to choose life instead of death. Carry this over back to the natural sense now. We think about godly parents. What do godly parents endeavor to do by the grace and by the help of God? They teach their children, right? What do you teach your children? You teach your children to do right. Or just are just children by nature just automatically just going to do right? We talked about that earlier, right? We're born in sin. Man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. So it's that Adamic nature within us. So God gives children godly parents. Those that be thankful if you have godly parents that want to teach you and train you in the ways of God, endeavoring to train and teach children to be obedient. Guess what that obedience is? It's a foundation for spiritual obedience.
Yeah,
it starts as a child. Children, I hope you're paying attention. Because my encouragement with you today, if you struggle with obeying your parents, ask the Lord to help you now. Ask him to help you to have a willingness to be obedient, because it's going to affect your life in the future.
Amen.
This is a foundation for spiritual obedience. That obedience principle is established in children. And it's intended to be carried on into spiritual life. You know, there's a blessing in obedience. You know, so it's not fair what God did for us. But he gave us a choice. He took away what we deserved and he changed everything.
Amen.
And he said, I want to give you a choice. So now we can choose obedience. You know there's blessings and benefits of obedience. Revelation, the 22nd chapter and the 14th verse.
Blessed are they that do his commandments.
Blessed are they which do his commandments.
That they may have right to the tree of life.
That they may have a right to the tree of life.
And may enter in through the gates into the city.
And may enter in through the gates of a city. So there's benefits and there's blessings for obedience. Blessed are they that do his commandments. That they may have a right to the tree of life. That they may enter in through the gates into the city. So a right to the tree of life gives us the privilege to be able to enter into the gates of heaven. But you know what? It requires us to do his commandments. Doing his commandments is our obedience. So in our obedience to him, he gives us the privilege to be able to enter into heaven. It's for each and every. He gives us the privilege to be able to have life eternal. It's that choice that we have of life, spiritual life over death. Do we recognize that heaven is a privilege? It's not a right. It's a privilege.
Yes. Amen.
You know, in the world that we live in today, it seems like it's just everybody goes to heaven. Not according to what Lawrence is reading here.
Amen.
You have to obey his commandments. So it's not just a right that I have because I'm one of God's children and he loves me so much. I still got to obey.
Amen.
I have to do it. So it's a privilege. It's not a right. So then the wonderful thing is that in our obedience, we are granted not only the privilege to have eternal life, we're not only granted the privilege to be able to enter into heaven, but you know what we also have? We have many other privileges because there's blessings and there's promises that are filled, that this book is filled with, that we have access to when we obey his commandments. We made an attempt several years ago to talk about many of the promises. We didn't even scratch the surface. There's so many blessings that we have because of obedience. So we recognize that obedience connection. Jesus Christ, obedient to his Father, and what he made possible for you and I. And now if we have that same mind and care for our own self, how we can make our lives so much easier.
Amen.
Let's look at 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and the 14th verse. Just have some encouragement for us. Encourage us by the help and by the grace of God to continue in the things that we know, that we understand, and continue to apply them to our lives. 2 Timothy 3 and 14.
But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned.
But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned.
And hast been assured of.
And hast been assured of.
Knowing of whom thou hast learned.
Knowing of whom thou hast learned. So, you know, recognizing that, you know, this is something that we have to continue to do every day. We have the instruction. We've been given the instruction. So now we have to put it into practice on a daily basis.
Amen.
You know, because as long as we are here on this earth, we got to fight an enemy, don't we? We're not there yet, but by the help and grace of God, we can get there.
Amen.
So the writer says, no man, however well instructed in the things of God or grounded in divine grace is out of the reach of temptation. So it doesn't matter how much I know, how much I endeavor to apply to my life, I still got to face an adversary.
That's right.
So I got to continue on a daily basis. Lord, help me to continue in these things that I've learned. Follow. Let this mind be in you, Lord. That was in you. Let me have that.
Yes,
that I can just always have a mind. What did he do? He humbled himself and became obedient. Lord, what do I need to do? I need to humble myself and be obedient to your word, to your will, and to your way. It said, the writer said, hence the necessity of watching under prayer and depending upon God, continuing in the faith and persevering until the end. So let's be encouraged. Say, if you've already been endeavoring to do these things, keep going. By the help and by the grace of God. But you know what? This also, what God in his love and his mercy, he gives us a time to be able to reevaluate. So maybe we can look on and say, I know it's not fair what's been offered to me, but I want to take full advantage of it. And maybe I can look at my life and say, I haven't taken full advantage of it. You know, the wonderful thing is, it's not too late. There's a time where we can look back on our own lives and we can say, you know what? I've been letting some things get away. Maybe I haven't been as obedient to God's word as he desires me to be. I can reevaluate and say, Lord, I need to draw a little closer to you. And you know, we can assess our lives and say, maybe, you know what, if I haven't taken full advantage, if I haven't chosen obedience, I can choose it today.
Amen.
I can say, you know what, I'm finished with this. I'm going to draw a line in the sand, and I'm going to take advantage of this. I don't deserve it.
Yes.
It's not fair. Oh, but a special provision has been made for me, and I want to take full advantage of it.
Amen.
You know, now is the accepted time. Maybe you haven't taken advantage of it. Take advantage of it now.
Yes.
Recognize God's love and his mercy and his compassion. You know, it's not too late to make the correct choice. It's not too late. It's not too late to say, you know what? I haven't made good choices up to now, but I can start today. I can do it today. I want to close with two verses in Isaiah, the first chapter, and the 19th and the 20th verse.
And he be willing and obedient.
We talked about obedience. We talked about willingness. The scripture here says, if you will be willing and obedient,
ye shall eat the good of the land.
Ye shall eat the good of the land.
But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured.
Ye shall be devoured with the sword.
For the mouth of the Lord
has
spoken.
For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I didn't say it. Well, that's harsh. This is the word of God. It's not fair that I even have a choice, but I do. I have a choice now. So I can choose obedience. And if I choose obedience, the scripture says, if I'm willing and if I'm obedient, I'll eat the good of the land. And not only in this life, but then I also gain the privilege to be able to enter into the gates of heaven. But you know, I also have a choice to say, you know what? I know it's not fair that I need to be given a choice, but I'm going to choose no. You can try it if you may, but the word says if you refuse and you rebel, you'll be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It is my desire, by the help and by the grace of God, that I would prove faithful, that I would take full advantage of this undeserved opportunity. You know, I'm not there yet. I got to continue in it by the help and by the grace of God on a daily basis to remain obedient to God and his dealings and his workings with me. And I desire to be found in that place.
Yes.
I appreciate your time and your attention, Lord.